Andre, interesting presentation this morning on the costs of regulations. And I guess one of the things we've been hearing here at the conference is it's hard to put an exact cost on regulations and their financial impact on producers and on consumers. But you did have some interesting information. Let's talk a little bit about some of those regulations. Housing, you mentioned, and you mentioned what's happened in the United Kingdom as far as sow housing and some of the impact that's had.
Yeah, so I related the experience in the UK, where in 1999 they passed a law banning sow stalls and tethers, and their own herd dropped by about 40% over the 5 years that followed. And costs, they ended up just importing more pork, which didn't, I guess, depending on what their goals were, they weren't necessarily achieved if they're just importing pork produced under different conditions, the conditions they didn't want anyway. The net effect was just increased prices to consumers in that case by about $7, I think, per person per year is what it worked out to. But their huge cost to industry as well is about $400 to $700 million in impact.
Yeah, and you pointed out that they increased their imports of pork, but it may be coming from operations that weren't under the same rules that they were imposing on their own producers.
Right. In all likelihood, that's true. In fact, Europe has a ban that's supposed to go in effect EU-wide starting next January 1st, if I'm not mistaken. And they had a similar ban on or a similar restriction on egg production that was supposed to go into effect this January 1st, just passed. And about half of the countries in the EU weren't compliant. And I believe remain non-compliant with that rule. So who knows what's going to happen with the sow stall rule, but I think it's fair to say that that when, 10 years ago, when this rule went into effect and they started importing more, that those certainly weren't coming in from suppliers that were complying with UK rules because they weren't in the UK.
Of course, we've had some of the same restrictions imposed on in some states in the U.S. Is it too early to tell what the impact's going to be there?
No, well, one thing that we have seen is that typically where these rules are placed locally, if there aren't any barriers to trade, whether it's, one state, Florida, for instance, putting a ban in place, or a country, the UK and the EU, but it's in a larger system where there aren't really barriers to trade, that you're just hurting the local producers, and then other producers are going to benefit and pick up the business. So,
also talked about sub-therapeutic antimicrobial use, and you talked about examples in Sweden and Denmark on that.
Yeah, so we have, it's not banned here in the U.S. A couple countries in Europe have banned subtherapeutic antimicrobial usage, and you see that that their impacts in terms of, illness does go up. They have seen smaller litter sizes, less efficient growth in the animals. In some cases, they've been able to adapt, changing their production practices to compensate, but typically costs are higher under those systems. And one thing that we've seen, at least in the case of Denmark, is that you end up, instead of having a balance of subtherapeutic and some therapeutic, you end up, the subtherapeutic is banned, but then your therapeutic use goes up dramatically, which is what they saw there.
And to this point, apparently they haven't seen a lot of difference in human resistance?
Right. So the rationale is, we should not use subtherapeutics in animals because we're going to allow the bugs to develop resistance to these drugs that are also important for people. And so one way or the other, whether it's transmission direct to people or transmission through the food, that the subtherapeutic use is bad because it might end up compromising our ability to benefit from these drugs, right? So that's the idea. And what they found in practice, at least in Denmark, is that they have seen that, there are instances where the bugs the animals have are less resistant to the drugs. That's a good thing, right? Because they're susceptible to the drugs. That's actually improved, but that's for the animals. Once they've looked at the resistance patterns and the bugs that people get, they haven't seen those benefits. There's an exception here or there, but for the most part, resistance patterns in human bugs haven't gone down. Now, some of them are the same bugs, humans and animals, but it's a little bit trickier to measure it, though, and to figure out the impact in humans because it's not a closed system. So not only the antibiotic use that people are the antibiotics that people end up exposed to are through food that's also imported, which isn't subject to those subtherapeutic limits, and also, people's use and misuse of antibiotics. So naturally you use antibiotics, resistance patterns emerge. This isn't something that's, it's just the way these drugs work. So it's, but what they haven't been able to do is tie conclusively that, you know, reducing subtherapeutics all, you know, is going to dramatically improve humans' ability to benefit from these drugs. But, you know, they're keeping very close tabs on it, and over time we will get better answers.
So, and we talk about in those two examples of housing regulations and the use of antimicrobials. Can you draw any conclusions on impact it might have here in the U.S. as those rules are tightened up?
Well, don't know that I'd characterize it as tightening up, but say the restrictions are placed or new housing rules are required. We just took, for example, the U.K. experience and extrapolated based on the size of the U.S. market, and that would be about, I think it was $5.8 billion in capital costs and an annual increase in operating costs of over $1 billion a year from housing. For antimicrobials, I'm not sure what the numbers would be. It looks like it's at least a percentage point or two. My suspicion is that it's a lot larger. There's been some other estimates suggested to be larger in terms of increases in costs. So, you know, it really depends on exactly how, you know, regulate, what's chosen as a regulation, how it's implemented. So, we, you know, we have some hint based on our looking at experiences elsewhere, but we don't know for sure until we know the details and how that would affect them.
But probably in the long run is going to mean higher food costs for consumers?
Yeah. I mean, if you're driving up production costs, you're going to drive up consumer costs, not necessarily on a one-for-one basis, because a large part of the cost of the final product isn't necessarily production costs, but distribution, marketing, and so on. But you can't increase production costs and not increase consumer costs.